Last week, Pastor Ted talked about us going and telling our world. Anybody invited somebody to church this morning? Amen. We got two people. Everybody else, no one invited anybody. Okay, so one of your assignments was to go and invite someone. How many? Did we have two people, three people? Okay, you invited someone? Awesome. And so this morning, you know, the Bible is clear that Jesus left us with a commission to go, therefore, and tell the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But a lot of times, our world is confusing, and it almost becomes a question of who is in our world. So today's sermon is entitled, I was thinking of a message title, My Stomach is Growling. And yours might be growling just because you're simply hungry. But my stomach is growling, and what are you going to do about it? And today we want to open your eyes to another part of our world, because simply our world is not only the people that live on the east side of Houma. How many people don't even live on the east side of Houma? Raise your hand. Okay. So you're like, yeah, whatever, I get that. And so sometimes we are so focused on our four and no more. We only see what's around us, maybe our kids or our area or our neighborhood or our school that our kids go to, that we don't see the surroundings of a greater world. And Jesus asks us to be missional in the fact that he says, start locally, but then think globally. So the mission is that I would go and tell the east side of Houma, yes, and that my kids would tell their friends and all those things, but also God has called us to go globally, but sometimes we don't know what the global world looks like. And so today we're going to talk about this one word called poverty. Can you turn your neighbor and say, hey, we're going to talk about poverty. Now, poverty is a weird thing, because you probably already have a way of thinking about poverty because of the way that you grew up. Maybe your people were people that gave everything to someone who was poor, and you sort of regret that. Or maybe you're in a family that everybody was out to get you, so you never gave anybody to anything. Maybe you grew up in a generous family, or maybe you grew up in a family that was not generous. And so most of us in the room have a mindset on what we think poverty is, on why we think poverty happened, and yet Jesus in the Bible talks more about poverty than many other subjects. In fact, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, there are over 2,000 mentions of the poverty that encompasses the people of God. And so today we're going to take a look at it. Can you imagine us talking about all these things, loving God and loving people, but we never talk about one of the essential problems of a people, and that is poverty. And sometimes we want to explain it away. I remember whenever I was younger and I was immature, I used to think that we could just solve all the issues. You know, like if you pray and you fast, and then God will move. And I'm not saying I do pray and I do fast, but some things are very complicated. And poverty is one of those issues that are very complicated. And it's not something that's going to go away, because Jesus said, the poor you always have with me. And so we can see that there's a purpose. We can see that there's a people that are poor, and sometimes we just have to look at it. So, and the interesting thing about the Bible is the Bible doesn't just talk about one thing in poverty. In fact, for example, in Luke, he was a sort of a doctor, but he was also someone that cared about social justice and social issues. Luke writes this. He says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. Everybody say poor. Now Matthew, who was another writer of the gospel, he was writing to a Jewish people, Matthew was. So Matthew writes and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I get that, right? We're poor in spirit. We're lowly. We're humble. For they shall see God. But then Luke writes a different story altogether. He says, blessed are the poor. And when you translate the word poor the way good Dr. Luke wrote poor, poor means this, someone who is actually dying. So Luke has this idea that it's okay in poverty because they know that one day they're going to see the king. And so that's one thing that the Bible says, blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. That's what Luke writes. But then in another verse in Proverbs 22 and verse 4, it says, God rewards those who fear and with him and the riches. He rewards those who fear him with riches. And so you see this sort of back and forth idea about poverty, even in the Bible. you see this idea. We see that people are hungry. We see that there's a problem, but what do we do about it? Preaching on poverty gets difficult because you already have an idea on what you think should happen about people in poverty. Like a question, what does it mean to be poor? In America, someone who makes as a family less than $30,000 a year would be considered poor. That's the poverty line. So that's where the poverty hits and you say, okay, that's someone that needs my help. But in America, that's $30,000. In other countries, it's $2 a day. So when you go to El Salvador and you're walking next to people and they only make $2 every day, you would say, okay, that's someone that is poor. See, there's a disconnect because $30,000 is a lot different than $2. Can I get an amen? And if you don't amen that, that's fine. Just give us, you know, you're fine. And so there's a disconnect between what is poor. And then there's a disconnect. What causes poverty? Poverty, some people, the way that you grew up might have been heard, oh, it's bad decisions by individuals and something that they could have been able to control. That's not true, though. Mostly in other countries like India, the way that you grew up, there is no way to get out of your poverty. The caste system is the way that it is. Other people think poverty stems from social structures, and it's true. There's social structures in our government and things that have happened in our past, our government, our ruling leaders, and they cause people to have a poverty mindset. There is injustice that happens inside of our governments and our ruling leaders. Obviously, poverty could be a little bit of both. Maybe there's a little bit of both even in this room right now. You would never callously blame someone who's abused and say it was their fault that they got abused. Yet with poverty, we tend to think that it's always their fault and there's never any other answer to why they're poor. We deny that people are gods, no matter who they are. Can I get an amen? So no matter who they are or how much they have, it's all of God's concern. He's saying, hey, as a leader, and Jesus comes as an exemplary leader, and he hangs out not just with the rich, but he makes his way always to the poor. He's hanging out with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who are considered esteem and culture, but then all of a sudden, Jesus takes a side curve another way, and he's in a colony of lepers that are outside of the village. He is intentional about meeting the needs of people. As Christian believers, we should be intentional about meeting the needs of other believers, yes, but also people in our society that don't have as much as us. My stomach is hungry. The question for you today is, what are you? Everybody say you. Now you now say me. What are we going to do about it as a church, as a family unit, maybe as a friend? What are you going to do? Here is what the Bible says. I just looked up some scripture. We have it on the screen. If you're taking notes, you might want to take some of these notes. In Luke chapter 3, again, the doctor says this. He says, he who has two coats, let him share with he who has none. And he who has food, let him do what? Likewise. And so we see that Luke is saying, hey, if you have a coat and you have two in your closet, give one to who has need. Hey, you have food on your table and you have more than enough, give to somebody else that has need. In Psalms 41, in verse 1, it says, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed is he who what? Considers the poor. So the Bible says there's a blessing whenever you begin to think about the poor. Whenever you begin to look outside of your circle and say, okay, God, they are poor. What am I to do about it? Proverbs 14, verse 31. It says, he who oppresses a poor man insults his maker. But he who is kind to the needy honors him. Who is the him? The maker. So if you want to insult God, then you're awful to the poor. But if you want to lift up the name of God and you want to honor the name of God, the Bible says to be kind to the poor. Now these next couple of verses get a little bit rougher. Proverbs 21 in verse 13, it says, he who closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard. That's a remindful verse of who God is. Proverbs 28 in verse 27, this even gets rougher. It says, he who gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. Isaiah 58 in verse 10. It says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and you satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then, everybody say then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom, it will be like noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires with good things. He will make your bones strong and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of waters who does not fail. So God's will for us is that we would give and work as much as we can to alleviate the suffering of people throughout this world. If you want to know, if you've been searching for God's will for your life and I just can't hear the voice of the Lord and I don't know what God's been saying to me, I would say go therefore and preach the gospel, yes, but then also take care of the needs. Do you notice Jesus? Every time he sees a group of people, what does he do first? He takes care of the needs and then he presents the what? The gospel. Why? Because I can't hear about Jesus with a 100-degree stomach. I can't. I don't know about you, but I'm not that good. And so I can't hear about Jesus, when my water is dirty. Do you know that 1 billion people, when you walked in the church this morning, we have bottles of water. This is dirt that we put in a water because whenever I open up a Member's Mark, that's the cheap water, amen, from Sam's, when I open up a purified water, I don't have to worry about the fact that there's something that's going to contaminate me or cause my young child to be sick and die of malaria. So when I drink this water, it's pure. But whenever I put dirt and substance in it, do you know that 1 billion people in our world today cannot say the same that you can? That's something that we should look at as believers. You see, I get so ashamed when someone outside of the church does more than what the church does. Because I think as a believer in Jesus Christ that we should be the example, because Jesus is the example. Every time he sees a crowd of 5,000, what does he do? He gets 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and he feeds the people. He sees the needs of the people. He sees all the problems that are going around in this world today. And he says, that's not acceptable on my watch that 1 billion people will not be able to drink water. Do you know that number will grow? By 2050, they say sub-Saharan Africa will have so many people that, you know what the most precious resource will be? Not oil, not gas, water. Clear, purified water will be the most precious resource. And how many of us don't take it? We just take it for granted because we'll get rain out of the sky and somehow we'll get our water. But my sister and my family this summer spent 2 weeks in Uganda, Africa, finding people that didn't have a lick of water. And all they could do was pull it out of dirty swamps and infested. And kids 5 years old and under dying because they didn't have a simple drink of water. They didn't want food. They wanted water. See, as a Christian, as a believer, we have to say, there's something that I can do. There's something that this church can do. There is something that my family can do. I can take in the people that need the help. And so there's a commission on our lives. It's included in the Great Commission. It says, go therefore, preach the gospel. Jesus says, give to the needy. In Luke 12, verse 33, he says, give even more. In Luke 6, 27, notice the gospel writer of Luke, he's always talking about giving to the poor. He said it should be an act of concern for the hungry and the homeless, and that we should be giving our lives so that they can have what they need. Concern for the hungry creates witnessing opportunities. So when you give water, you know what you can tell them about? Living water. So when I give you purified water and your babies don't hurt anymore and your lives don't have problems anymore, I can tell you about the living water of who Jesus Christ is and how he can take you out of this world and into the next and the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? All because you gave them 1 bottle of water. And so today we're going to ask ourselves some questions. If somebody's stomach was hungry, if your baby's stomach was hungry, or if the people that live next door to you were hungry, what would you do? You would fix them up some gumbo, right? And get them some food right on the table. But then you say, okay, Tara, I understand that. I understand what the problems are. She said, but I don't live in Africa, or I don't live in the Philippines, or I don't live in these places that are full of poverty and full of problems. So what does it look like for the believers in the house of God this morning to say, okay, I know that there's a problem. I know that poverty exists. I know that in other countries, $2 a day is not cutting it for people. That's just not a way to live life in all of Central America and all of these places. What can we do about it? If somebody's stomach's hungry, the commission is to fill up the stomach. So here are some things that we've been thinking about. What can you do? Number one, we have a slide for it. Set aside some time and educate yourself about the problem. Set aside some time and educate yourself about the problem. See, so many times we don't even do that. We don't even know that there is a problem. We don't even know that there's 1 billion people living without water. So how are we? It's a disconnect. Why? Because we live in our world and we live in our focus zone. And so here you see that there's a problem and God is saying, hey, it is time to educate yourself on what the problem is. If Jesus said, I am called to go to the lepers, guess what he did? He went in the lepers' colony and he said to those people, let me heal you. He didn't go around the problem. He went through the problem. And so sometimes we just have to educate ourselves and say, there is a problem in our world. Whenever the one people, you saw the video, right? 100 people, one person owns most of the wealth and the 99 other are barely eking out a living, barely have a way to survive. There's a disconnect whenever that's happening in our world. You know, there's some problems. You could watch a couple of videos. You could ride down in the east side somewhere. Amen. You could, come on. And so you could know what your government is doing. What rules are they putting in place? You know, it's important to be involved, to say, hey, you know what? There are some real issues in our government today. Locally, there's a real issue in our government in the state. And then how can we make sure that the people of God are being educated and they're opening up their minds to what God has for them? You know that there is enough grain today in this world because of the way that we farm. There's enough grain produced to supply everyone on earth with more than 2 pounds of grain per day. There is no reason that any person in this entire world should not have food when they wake up this morning. If we are creating and producing that much grain that every person could have 2 pounds of it across the entire world, there is something going wrong. There's a government that's going wrong. There's a way. Do you know that whenever that storm hit Puerto Rico, we sent water. Somebody sent water. Do you know that cases, millions, almost billions of water stayed on an airport taxi? Did you see the picture? It was a tremendous picture of all the water that was given to the people of Puerto Rico, but it never got to the people of Puerto Rico. Just educate yourself on that and say, you know what? There's a problem whenever the money is sent, but it's not going to where it's sent. You have to be careful of where you send your money and who you send your money through. I'm going to suggest a Christian organization every time. Let them see that they're stable. Hey, this is someone that's actually giving to what they say that they're giving to, because some people don't give to what they say that they're going to give to, and the pockets get a little bit richer. Educate yourself. Look at that organization and say, is there financial accountability in that organization? Are they doing what they need to be doing? That's just something to educate yourself. And so you can see, if we're producing that kind of grain, the average American, guess how much grain you consume? 2,000 pounds a year. The average American. Most of it comes through meat products. And so do you know that on Colombia, on the other side of the world, on Colombia, they will only eat 400 pounds of grain this year. Most of it in grain itself. Do you know that the average steer, which is another word for cow, will eat 400 pounds of grain this year? That's more than a person in Colombia will eat. We feed our animals better than people are getting fed all throughout this world. There should be some conviction. I'm not going to talk about dogs and all that kind of thing because I have a different view on those kind of things. 80% of all grain here in America is not fed to other countries. It's fed to our animals. 80%. Americans throw away enough food in a year to feed over 150 million people. In our garbages. That's us. That's not counting the people like the Rouses and all those people that throw 40% of their produce away. You ever been? What happens when that banana gets old or that thing gets old? It just gets thrown away. 40% of our food that we take in goes right back into a garbage can. 25% of the food products in all of North America is thrown away. And those are old statistics. That's not 2018. There's a problem. Educate yourself and say, you know what? There are some people that don't have. What can I do to fix it? That was question number one. Set aside some time. And you're like, okay, Tara, I get it. I'm overwhelmed. So what do I do now? Number two, I love this one. Fast and pray. You know, I am not physically able to go to Uganda. I am not. You're probably not physically able to go to Uganda. But I can empathize with my brothers and sisters when I fast for them. Whenever I begin to alleviate myself of food and I begin to look at it as prayer and fasting, you know, you can begin to pray and fast for corrupt governments. You can begin to pray and fast. You know, there's some governments that will just take all from the top and none of those people ever get anything. There are some real problems in our world today. And some of this poverty can be alleviated. Why? If we would just begin to pray and fast. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are people that know the Lord, serve the Lord. We are to fast with them and to pray. And when we do that, we sort of become like them. Not that we're starving, but we're saying prayer is enlivened and it's deepened by fasting. I'm going to preach on fasting all the time because I see the power in fasting. So we open our eyes and say, okay, poverty is there. But then at the same time, we say, okay, God has called us to fast. And maybe it will unite you to a brother or sister in Uganda or the fellowship of hunger. And as you feel the hunger pain, you say, what, God, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters in Uganda or Central America or the Philippines or right here in East Toma. God, I'm praying for those that hunger as well, that you would move on their behalf. You're becoming engaged. And then the next thing, so you're gonna look at your life and say, how can I be involved? I want to know a little bit more. And then you're going to be praying and fasting. Number three, if you're writing notes, some of you should go. Everybody say go. I love this. Some of you should go. And you say, Tara, I know you're not talking to me. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too large. I'm too small. I don't know what your excuse is. Maybe you don't have any money. That could be your excuse too. But I and Ted believe that one mission trip is better than a year listening to sermons. And I think I'm a good preacher. So I just think it's better for you to go and to experience, because it's different looking at a TV. Does that make sense? And you see the problem and you flip it off. And you think the problem's gone, but the problem is not gone, my friend. That's just you turning off the TV or the social media, and the problem still exists. So one of the ways that we can say, okay, God, you are calling me. I realize there's a problem. I am praying and I'm fasting. So the next thing is some of you should go. And I mean, we're going to El Salvador next summer. So like right after this message, you should be right here saying, Tara, I want to go with you to El Salvador. I don't have the money. I don't know what God's going to do, but my goodness, sell some beef jerky sticks and lollipops until you can get yourself to El Salvador. Why? So that your eyes can be open and you can see what God has for you. And you say, maybe I'm not able to go. I understand that. I'm not saying everybody should go, but God is calling some of you to go. Young people, I'm going to pick on you because I believe that as a young person, you should fully surrender your life to Christ. And you should say, with everything that's in me, before you get a family and 500 kids like me, you should go. Therefore, you should say, God, send me, like Isaiah chapter 6. We're to go. And I just believe that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glories. And what God will do on one mission trip, he'll start a nonprofit called Hope Extreme. He'll start a church called Hope Community Church. He'll start a thrift store. You know, God did all those things when we went out into another country because we could hear from him clearly because we were fasting and praying, and God began to do something here locally. But some of you might be called globally. I want to let you know we'll support you. If you're called to go, therefore, and you come and talk with us and say, hey, I'm called to be missional. I see the needs. I see the problems. Let us send you. Amen. We're trying to send two guys this summer to go to five different countries, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, and all these things. They're preparing their trip. Why? So that they can go there for. See, God has called some of us, and the ones of you that are going to sit back home, you can support them financially, but you can also support them by praying and fasting for these men of God, that they will hear from God and see what God has for them. So what can you do? You ask. You can set aside time to educate yourself. You can engage in regular prayer and fasting. Some of you should go or read books about people that win. They have one in the bulletin. Check it out. It's a good book. It's about Brother Andrew. He was a Bible smuggler into the Cold War. It is a phenomenal book. If your heart beats in that direction, just read his story about how he would take a Bible and smuggle it in his pants, or he'd put it in the tires of his car, and he would go into Cold War Russia just to tell the people about Jesus Christ. And every single time, no one caught him. Amen. And he would go. One time he was almost running out of gas. Guess what God did? Filled the car up with gas. Why? Because the gospel was being advanced. And he was reaching a people that were oppressed by the Cold War and by the people of Russia. God has called us to go and to help people. Number four, we need to give. Everybody say give. Some people will get aggravated because we talk about giving, but Jesus talks about giving. And this is a church that we don't talk a whole lot about giving, and we do that intentionally. We pray that you would tithe and that you would give offerings. We do that personally. We try to lead by example, but God has called us to give. God has blessed you because $2 a day is not enough to live on. And because whenever we look at our lives and you say, oh, but Tara, all my bills and all my problems, you're not making $2 a day. You're just not. And so whenever we look at that, there's a disconnect between the Christians in America and the Christians globally. And the global Christians you're going to learn about next week are barely making it. Some of them are dying for their faith. We are called as believers to take care of empty bellies. We are called as believers. That might be your next door neighbor. It might be someone that you see on the street this week. You might be called to take them in or to go and visit them. I don't know. Maybe if you have two coats in your closet, right? You go and get the one coat and say, how can I bless somebody else with another coat? That's biblical. Or maybe you have extra food on your table, so you say, hey, come over to my house. You're all welcome. Amen. And so you can come over and you can get the food that you need. But sometimes we have to think outside of America, and we have to say, how can we make a difference? How is we as a church can make a difference? Because this is not acceptable on my watch. Dirty water is not acceptable. So wouldn't it be awesome if next year Hope Community Church builds a water well somewhere in some place that just doesn't have enough water to drink, and that from the east side of Houma would come purified water to a community that's in need? That's what God has called us to do, to take care of his people, no matter what they look like or where they're from or what they believe. God will work out all the rest. He never said to the people waiting for the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, do you love me? Are you saved? Are you filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? He never asked those questions. He just said, come, I see you're hungry, and I want to help supply those needs that you have. God works out everything else for his good. Today, we're going to challenge you. As a group of believers right here in the house of God, when you walk out this door, we've been given food. I don't know if you came last week, but we gave some spring rolls. They were amazing. We're trying to do a food from every country. Next week, I think we'll have some kind of other food from some other country. But you know, the countries we talked about today don't have food. So when you walk out the door, there will be no food. There will be a little bowl, a red and white rice bowl. And what we want you to do is we're looking to look at that bowl. You're going to grab one. You can grab a dirty bottled water. We have a couple out there for you to grab. Just to remind you, maybe your family, hey, there's some people don't have it. Not just Christmas. This is every day they don't have water. So you might want to grab a bottle. But in that rice bowl, we're going to challenge you. And my family accepts the challenge. We talked about it already. So what we're going to do is every time that you eat a meal this week, until Christmas, until the new year, we're going to ask you to put a quarter into that little rice bowl. You're going to put a quarter in the rice bowl. So like today for lunch, put a quarter. Tonight when you eat supper, if you're a snacker, put a quarter into. I'm joking, you don't have to. And so but every meal, breakfast, supper, dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you're going to put a quarter into that rice bowl. At the end of the month, you might have like $10 or something, depending how large your family is. Mine's 6, so we're going to be kicking. And so anyway, we're going to just encourage you to do that. Next week when you come to church, we're going to have a big water jug sitting right here outside of these baskets. Now, this is a different offering. This offering is just going to go to alleviate hunger. So we're going to partner with World Vision. We know they're reputable. We know what they're doing. We have been in places where we have seen the work of World Vision. donation, and we're going to give to them. So whatever you collect, and if 100 people would do that within this congregation or your kids, do you know that we would raise over $1,000 by the new year? So $1,000 can go, and you know World Vision, they give chickens and goats, and they give all these things so that the chickens make more chickens. Does that make sense? So they have more eggs, and so that this problem can be alleviated, not just giving them a plate of food, but giving them a form so that they can feed all the people in their places. And so what you're going to do, and maybe if you're brave or bold enough, you'll give one to another family and say, hey, will you do this with us? We're just going to ask you to give a quarter for the next time that you eat until the end of this year in 2018. And we're going to say, you know what, God, use us. Some of you might be called. Come and talk to us and say, you know what, Tara, I am called to go globally. Or I just want to try. I just want to see what God has for my heart. Some of you need to fast. Some of you need to pray and say, God, what are you calling me to? That might be a local thing. You might give a toy at the end of service and say, hey, I'm going to go get a toy for someone who doesn't have a toy. We have jackets. Give a jacket to someone who doesn't have a jacket. Those are things that we can do here locally. The thing that we're giving to will be globally. We always say that. Start local. Local, but think global. The bellies are empty. You can watch a video after a video after a video. What are you going to do about it? Bow your head, please, and close your eyes. So your mission in the next couple of weeks, if you choose to accept it, is just to collect that money. But for some of you, you're going to need to go, and you're going to go home and watch some videos. Just YouTube poverty. And you're going to see this whole thing that maybe you've never seen. Or maybe YouTube immigration. I just threw that in there. Or maybe just ask God that he would just throw into your heart a mission. That you would stop living for yourself and that you would start living for him. And that you would begin to love your neighbor. I think of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story. You know all the people that were supposed to be doing the right thing, the priest and the religious leader, those were all the people doing the wrong thing, passing on the other side of the road. Jesus sets a most excellent example because he goes and visits people. He goes and says, okay, what's the need? I want to help. And maybe today in this house of God that God's calling you just to help. And you don't even know what that is. Maybe you're called to help a young person get to El Salvador next summer. They would be so thankful if you helped them as they raise their money. Maybe you're just called to give that quarter. And you say, Tara, that's all I can do is a quarter. Like every meal, I got that. Maybe you have a coat and you have a couple coats. And you can give one of those up for someone that's in need. Maybe you and your family can go and get a toy and buy a toy. Because you know of some people that just need extra help this Christmas season. I'll tell you this, whenever you are the hands and feet of Jesus, people are more interested in hearing about Jesus. It's just the truth. When you feed and those stomachs are full, they'll listen to what you have to say. God, I pray that we would think locally. God, that we would think, God, of those in need, even those around us. God, open our eyes. God, that we would see those that are hurting and in pain in our schools, in our jobs, in our work. And God, that we would just minister to them because we can do that like today. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world that today won't even have a plate of food. God, we pray for those 20,000 children that this year alone will die, 20 million I think it is, because they just don't have enough food. Food-related illnesses that lead to death. God, help us to see that. And God, we know that we can't save everyone. And we know that Luke says, blessed are the poor. But God, we also know that it is blessed when we look at the poor and say, hey, what can we do to help? So open our minds, God, open our hearts, God. Help us to hear the roaring of stomachs and that we would help to feed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you leave today, just there's going to be some teenage boys, I think, that are going to be out there. Yeah, that are going to be out there, and they're going to give you a bowl. And so I encourage you, grab one of those bowls. If you want to grab a bottle of water, there's a toy drive right whenever we see you. We love you guys, and we'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. Let's go, therefore, and tell our world.